Seder in the parish of Rav Avinair and Oyes HaKadosh, I hope that you have those pages. I know they've been sent, so if you were able to look at them, we're on page 54. We're just going to, in a minute, we're going to move on to the next section, not the next Maimer, but the next section, the last part of this Torah. And we began learning last Erev Shabbos about how Ma'aseh Bereishis and Ma'aseh Merkava, which is the subject of this Maimer, how Ma'aseh Bereishis, Ma'aseh Merkava, although they're very esoteric and deal with the whole hishtalshlus of creation and of the olamos and deepest secrets of Torah and so on, how they're necessary, at least each person on his and her level, to learn, not just for the purpose of becoming more educated and aware of how the world runs and Hashem's presence in the world, but to affect in a very, very real and practical way the individual's behavior. Is becoming more and more of an ish musari, of an ethical, refined person. And Rav Avinair was explaining that this was Rav Kook's mahalach, and in that way, it was a turn in a different direction from the way of the Litvashi yeshivas, der chamusa, which focused more on the individual characteristics that needed to be worked on and refined. We were talking a little bit about that yesterday in the Shia, in the Meridian Shia, this Mahalach, the difference in these two Mahalachim. So on the top of page 54, and Rav Avinair is explaining, Anodonim kan b'shitas ha'tipul ba'adam. It's a question of how to affect a change in a person. On the most basic level, in terms of his midas, Ha'im legayis es ha'midrashim v'haksuvim amanas l'havar l'tipul pratani. One mahalach, which is the way of the yeshivas, was to focus on the pratim of the person's behavior, which he spoke about. He described as this behavioralist or approach of trying to work with the prote protem of a person's personality, his midas, to help that person overcome different fears, anxieties, and to move forward in his or her life. That's the mahalach that Rav Kook turned, to a large extent, he turned away from that. Not to say that there isn't value in that. But the mahalach of Rav Kook was olahepech lahavius odin ladarga acheres ba miyemela hakol yusukan. Rav Kook's mahalach was, as was the derech of Baal Shem Tov and of the mekubalim, was to bring a person to such a madrega, to a higher place, where those things in his life, all those pratim in his life, mimela on their own, become insignificant and unimportant. The things that troubled him until now, or that were a challenge to him until now, are no longer challenging because he's in a different place, he's in a different madrega. And from that perspective, on top of the mountain, these things appear for what they really are, is that they're silly. So you could write 1,000 mamarim describing how a human being eating is such an animal, and that we're no different than behemoths when we eat. And it brings out all the most disgusting taivas of a person when he's sitting over his supper, which is what you find in many of the svarim, that talk about how to work on that prat of achila. Or you could bring a person to a place where he's not a behemoth. You bring him to a higher place where he's a ben adam, where he's an elevated person. And as an elevated person, he eats differently. He conducts himself in a different way. Not because he's, at that moment, trying not to be an animal, or trying to imitate a human being, because he's bamus, a human being. And as a human being, as a human being, he realizes that it's silly for him to stand by a smorgasbord, you know, pushing some 90-year-old lady to get a piece of spare rib or something. It's just not, it's not part of his world. It's not part of his world. Not that, how am I going to deal with this and have to hold back my taiva? I have to weigh and measure what's more important, to be mechabed this old woman, or to give into my disgusting taiva that I'm such a behemoth. And he holds himself back, trying to work on this, and reminding himself and saying over and over, "Bibnei zak, bibnei seva talk." And to go over, I have to be mechabed an old person, and I have to be careful, or else I'm going to be over on this, I'm going to be chayav this, I'll be chayav that. And he stands there shaking with his fork, and the old lady is taking too long, you understand, by the thing, and he's holding this back. Don't be a behemoth. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Or that he b'chlal doesn't go standing in line for a spare rib. It's like the whole thing is bizyonis for a human being, to stand on line and to be part of that whole scene. And to, it's just bizyonis. The whole Indian is bizyonis. It's a lamatim. It's not lefi who he is, and it's, you know. Like they say about one of the tzaddikim that he was sitting at the table with different meshashivas. I don't remember who it was. It might have been Rebelli Lapian. I think maybe Rebelli. But he was sitting at the table. There were different Meshashivas. And they asked him, would you prefer meat or fish? So the frum thing to do, of course, is to always say, what? Fish. That's the frum thing to do. So they asked Rebelli. The waiter said, Rebbe, would you prefer the meat or the fish? So Rebelli said, he was thinking for a while. So the guy couldn't believe it like that. He was like such a big Indian. Rebelli is like, well, meat or the fish? It's like this. So the waiter was just standing there. He thought it was very odd. And Rebellious says, Rebbe, is everything okay? So Rebellious said, you're asking me essentially a choice between taiva and gaiva. In other words, my taiva says to have a piece of flesh, to have a piece of meat. That's my taiva. But gaiva zok, but my gaiva says that all the Rosh Hashivas order fish because it's not kosher enough to meat. So my gaiva says to have the piece of fish. So I'm trying to hurry. I'm trying to figure out the Indian over here. Is it taiva? Is it gaiva? Which is the Indian, taiva or gaiva? So, of course, Rebellion was an ish kodesh, mamish, and he was laughing at himself to say such a thing. He was making chazik of the whole Indian, of what do I want to eat. And he was making fun probably a little bit of what was going on at the table. Fish, please, only fish. And he knew that they were all sitting there like looking at the other table. You know, like you ever sit at a simcha at a bar mitzvah and they're giving the adults like some artichoke wrapped around a piece of smoked veal or something like that. And you're looking like the kids, they're having hot dogs and hamburgers and french fries and you're some kind of them, right? You know what I'm talking about. Like, why do they get the gourmet food? I'm stuck with this poison. And the kids are having a hot dog and french fries. So Rebellia was mistaken, making fun of the whole scene of what was going on, that everybody's making a cheshbon. Rav Kook's mahalach, as was the way the tzaddikim, the Talmidei Baal Shem, was, lahavi yisodim l'darga acheres. That doesn't mean to ignore that part of that behemah part, and obviously a person has to be honest about himself. And there's a need for that as well. And it's not to say chas v'sholom that it's bechlal not, but reflected in the curriculum of Rav Kook's yeshiva, and Rav Kook was very, very particular about exactly what the limudim were in the yeshiva. It was very obvious that absent from the curriculum was the typical menu of Sifrei Musar. No. And only Maseilas Yesharim, which Rav Kook taught in a certain way, and insisted to be taught in a certain way, not in the way that he had received it from his teachers in yeshiva. Yesh tilmud shmiras halashon maseilas yesharim. Of course, to learn shmiras halashon, to know the halachas of lashon hara, to learn shmiras halashon maseilas yesharim. Ulam ba'ofen klali ein tzarich lilmud kol kach habei sifrei musar she'tzomchu b'doros acharonim mipi tnuas ha'musar. However, Rabbi, I was explaining that in the yeshiva, by the Talmidim of Kook and the Talmidim of Talmidim, there was not really much of an emphasis on the later Sifrei Musar. Meaning from the Musar movement. Maseilas Yesharim is not from that. But from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and on, Maseilas Yesharim, Chavos Levavos, those are Kadmonim. That's something else. That was everybody learns those Svarim. Yeh Sifrei Musar Shalavishayim. the Sifrei Musar of the Rishonim, Ulam Heim Dibru, Heim Dibru Ledor Shalahem, V'nachnu Tzrichim Ledaber Behetayim Ledoreinu Anu. This is something we talk about a lot. They were talking to an earlier time, an earlier generation. Not everything that they were saying to those earlier generations resonate and help people of our generation, even though the Dvarav Chaim Kayomim is very holy and everything they taught. Nevertheless, it doesn't necessarily apply to our generation. Some of you might remember, there's a Torah that I've said a number of times over the years from the Kuzin Samagit Chuskan in Parshas Hazino. It's good. I look at in Avodas Yisrael, in Hazino, you see there at the beginning what the Kuzin Samagit writes. Hazino Shamayim Vadaber V'Sishma Harasim Refi. So Hazino Shamayim Vadaber, listen, heavens, I'm speaking. And the earth will hear the words of my mouth. Right? That's what it says in Pasuk. So Kushner Samagid said that the way to be Mashpia Yiddishkeit, the way of the Baal Shem Tov is Hazinu Hashamayim. I try to speak to the part of the person that's Himmeldik, that's Shamayim. I try to address the higher part of the person. I try to give over that ur that will lift up the higher part of the person, and mimela v'sishma haretzim refi. And then my guf, which is haaretz, the earth, will hear the words of my mouth. I don't have to speak to the guf. I speak to the shemayim, the himmeldik. Speak to the higher part of the person. Now naturally, with children especially, you have to know when and how to do that, and with each person, with each talmud, with each student. But the general mahalach of Rav Kook and the Baal Shem Tov, the general mahalach is what the Kosher Samagid is talking about. Hazinu Hashamayim. I'm speaking to that part of you that is hearing something higher, that is attuned to something higher. And speak to the neshama of the person. Speak to the neshama. Everybody says that, but what does that mean to speak to the neshama? And if you speak to the neshama of a person, then mimela, the result of that will be they don't behave in a good way. But you don't have to sit around. If you have to spend every minute telling the kid, and even as he gets older, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this, like a person's talking to his 21-year-old son, you shouldn't sit at the table like that. You have to get up for davening. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. And that was not the mahalach of Rav Kook. Rav Kook's mahalach was Hazinu Hashamayim, which we see in the way that he wrote, which he's speaking to the highest part of who we are. He's trying to reach out to that highest part of who we are, which does not work with everybody. Which doesn't work. There are people who just can't hear that stuff at all. They can't hear it. They just say, I don't know what he's... Forget about Rav Kook, just bechlal. Any neshama talk, there are people who just can't hear that. And the only way you could deal with them is like Rabbi Nachman says in the first Torah, is like you take a stick and you clap. And Musa is a stick that you give a clap. That's what it mostly is a stick. It's like to train the behemoth how to behave, to behave, and with certain people, that's the only way you can get them to behave. So there are some people that unless you give them the speech about how if you don't put on tefillin, you're going to rot in Gehenna, you're going to burn, and you have to make pictures of Gehenna and learn with them all these things that are unless you. Cover your hair. You're gonna be in, forever in the kafa kella, or they're gonna burn each strand of your hair in front of your eyes, and all your ancestors are gonna be brought out to watch your hair being burned, and there are people that they love that stuff. It's the only thing that gets them going. It's the only thing that gets them going, which you find a lot of in the earlier Musa Svarim, and they were speaking to that generation, to those generations that heard such things and kept people more in line. Remember, the average person, the typical person back then, had no shaychus to learning. Was not a shaychus to learning Torah, and was not exposed to anything also that was sophisticated in secular studies. So, when you're talking to people like that, you give a patch, But nowadays, to give a patch, just to speak to the goof of a person, to hit the goof doesn't listen to the talk of the neshama. So there's some people that you could try as much as possible to talk the burim of the neshama, but they just don't hear. And the only thing that they can hear, those are the burim of to the goof. So what's the purpose of a Jew learning Ma'aseh Bereishis and Ma'aseh Merkava? So because Rav Kook believed that lifting people up to a higher place is the ultimate solution to the problems of all the problems of what's going on with Am Yisrael before Mashiach comes. And he believed that we're ready to hear. We're ready to hear Hazinu Hashemayim, that we're ready to hear Diburim of the Neshama. Yesh Sifrei Musar Shel HaRishayim, Ulam Heim, yeah. Haderach HaRishis, Shel Tikkun HaAdam, Hi Be'emtzos Psichus L'machshavos Al Yoynes. The way of Rav Kook, and is the higher path, that the tikkun of a person takes place through opening up one's thoughts to bring the person to a higher way of thinking. Kach gam biyachas l'dor. And so too it has to be with the generation, to understand the generation. Therefore, there are many, many wonderful, wonderful sichas musar and shmuzen that did a lot to lift up earlier generations, but they don't speak to this generation. They don't speak to the, for the most part, they don't speak to this generation. Chador loy sarvel mechaisa musar. This generation is not suffering from a lack of musar. It's from a lack of a more sophisticated, elevated way of teaching and of thinking and of feeling. That's what this generation is waiting for. That's what this generation is thirsting for. Again, there are exceptions. People are different. But this is Rav Kook's Mahalach, and it's the way of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh as well. Achayim shebegviya, Rav Kook's words. Achayim shebegviya nasim rechavim. Life of the body becomes more expanded. The person has a bigger picture of things. He has more of an expansive view. Tahirim, more pure. Kedoshim va'adinim. So chai, more holy and more refined. Chai haguf, b'mkoyim l'hakaisis haguf l'tza'aroi. To give the life of the guf, instead of hitting the body and tormenting the body and trying to force the body to behave, instead, physical life are misgadlim, become more refined, become elevated. Misadnim mitaharim, become pure. Nasim kedoshim. And when a person is in that place of idun, of gentleness and refinement and kedusha, then again, mimela, it's not, he looks at things of this world in a different way. It's not for him. There are things, the types of behavior that's pasnish. One of the things I remember, you know, Dr. Tversky should have Arichas Yom Mishonim from Pittsburgh. Now he's an Etzis, I think he's an Etzis Cell now, maybe, I'm not sure. But, you know, he's written like 150 books, I don't know how many books. A lot of them are crossing over. But he's written very, very beautiful books. And I remember when he first started putting out books many, many years ago, I remember one thing that struck me. He was talking about how he was raised in his father's home. His father was a big tzaddik, the Hornsteipler Rebbe from Milwaukee. And he was raised, and he said that his father, he remembers that his father never criticized him and for what he was doing and to point out how something was not nice or something. He would always say, it's not fitting for a person like you. It doesn't become you. That's what he would say. That was the strongest thing his father would say. It's pasnish. It doesn't become you. It's not becoming a person like you. He says, even as a child, his father would always speak to them in that way. It's pasnish. Somebody like you, this is unbecoming for somebody like you. The feeling that he had growing up in the house was that he's a dehoibin person, he's an elevated person, and mimela, there are things that just don't fit into the life of somebody who's different. Don't fit into such a life. V'chaim shemichutz legvia, mimala, and life outside of physical life and above physical life, me'irim tamid b'chol nogam, a shining in all of their brightness into everything that the person does. There's that or of that life outside of the body. There are people who are stuck in the guf. Everything is from that perspective of the guf. And again, then they can't. They generally cannot hear things unless it's the language of the guf. You have to speak the language of the body. The body understands like a ferret, like a horse. You're going to get patched, you're going to get punished, this is disgusting, and so on and so forth. And you could fix it up with a lot of Mamre Chazal to make it look like a nice shmooze. But essentially, you're talking to the fair, you're talking to the horse. That's the goof. The goof is a horse. And the horse needs a certain kind of training. Because you're not changing the essence of the horse. You're not making a horse into a person. You're just trying to make him a horse that behaves. A better horse that behaves better. So you try to train. Like the famous Maaseh, they used to say it from the Rambam. It seems like it's really from the Rebbe of Yonis Naibishitz. But you all know the story that he was invited to a big banquet. It was by the Goyim, by all the big thinkers and so on. And there was a whole Mahalach then that was popular in the world of how essentially a human being and an animal, just a human being is just a better animal. It's just a better animal. I mean, that's the meaning of Darwinism, biological evolution and so on. It's a better animal. So Rabbi Yonis Naibishus was of course, could be it was the Rambam, I don't know, but could be never happened at all. That's probably the most likely thing. But we heard that so he was invited to this Choshev, like there was a convention of the philosophers who were going to discuss all kinds of things, and they brought out to serve drinks, different things, which of course the Tzaddik couldn't eat, but they brought out drinks. And he came prepared with a little mouse in his pocket. Why? Because these philosophers want to make a point, and they trained some cats or dogs. They trained the cats to come carrying a tray with drinks to make their point that you see that an animal can be trained. So Rabbi Yonis Naibishitz took out from his pocket and he threw the mouse out on the, and all the cats went crazy, and they knocked over everything in there. And he just smiled. He says, a cat is a cat. I mean, you could try to train it to act like a waiter. You could train the cat to act like a waiter. But when it comes down to it, and you get to the smorgasbord, it turns out that the cat is just a cat. That's all. And if there's no life outside of the gevir, outside of the body, then a person is confined to that world of the horse, of the cat, of a small and petty person, and you try your best to train the person. And there are many things that are written in the Svarim and that have how to try to go about training such a person. But it's a matter of training. Chaim Shemichutz L'Gvi Mimala, Rav Kook was talking about the world that's Michutz L'Gvi Mimala, outside of the body and higher than the body. And then Mi'irim Tom V'Chol Nokam, that are continuously shining in everything. He's able to absorb everything. That light he's able to see in everything. So food is not an opportunity to lower himself. It's an opportunity to refine himself. And everything in life is b'chol drechecha de'eyu. Page 55, the next part of the Maimer, the end of the Maimer. Haruchnias ha'lechasi u'mis'ala ba'adam u'ba'olam. B'chol rega shel chai. Ruchnius is increasingly ascending in man and in the world. B'chol rega shel chai, every moment of life. Now, that sentence contradicts everything you and I were taught growing up. Everything we were taught growing up was, the basic theme was, always, Yuridas Adairus. Right? That was the big explanation for everything that was messed up, is Yuridas Adairus. Many times over the years we've spoken about Rav Kook's take on the subject of Yuridas Adairus. He has, especially by Chanukah, the Indian of lighting candles from 1 to 8. This is essentially the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, we understand. Beis Shammai says that the earth was created first, and then Shammai. And Beis Hillel says Shemayim was created first and the earth. And there are two different methods that the Tzaddikim understood as being the way more of the Derech HaMusl and the way of the Derech of Pnimius. It's the way of Hillel, which the name Hillel means light. Means light. Hillel Or means light. And the way of Shemayim Nivru Tchila, the heavens were created first. And therefore the union of lighting Hanukkah candles, so Shammai says from 8 to 1, which is how to basically how to train the guf and bring the guf to through burning away all the layers of gashmius, to burn away, to finally get to a drop of something that's pure. And the inyan of hilah was fakir. The inyan of hilah was to increase the aur. The mahalach is increasing, bringing more light, more light, more light. And the whole subject of Yiridus Adaris, from the perspective of Pnimius, one learns about that in the writings of Rav Tzadik and Rav Kook and other Svarim. The inyan of Yiridus Adaris is not the way we were taught. It's not the way we were taught. In Rav Kook's world, which is the world of Kabbalah and Pnimius, Haruchnis Haylechus Hi Umis Allah. Ba'adam Vayim is a long piece in the Leshem on this inyan. That Ruchnius Haylechus Hi Umis Allah. The Ruchnius is going and becoming increasingly stronger. Ba'adam Vayim, in man and in the world. B'chol Grega Shalchaim, every moment of life. Every moment of life. It's true that we don't have a Noida B'Yehuda these days. It's true that we don't have a Chassam Sofer. We don't have a Rav Moshe Feinstein either. It's true. We don't have. And Rav Kook explained, and the Tzaddikim can talk about this, the Mitzad, the individual, there's a difference between Mitzad, the individual, and Klolius Yisrael, and the world, Bechlal. But that's, we've spoken about that before, it's not right now. Haruchnius enena nimses b'matzav stati l'tamid no. Ruchnius is not static, it's always moving. Vahaskar of Kook writes, Vahaskar lohel yernata fesas bakarasa es harikum shel ha'iloi. Vimis adenes mi roiv ziv um adenes es ha'olam kuloi. Let's try to translate that. Haskar lohel yernata. The more elevated and sophisticated and deep a person's thoughts become, and society's thoughts become, tefeses bakaros es harikum shel ha'ilui. What's rikum? Rikum, rikum means like a tapestry. When you have a beautiful tapestry, and it has all different colors and designs. Rikum means taking different colors, taking different pictures and images, and creating a beautiful tapestry. That's rikum, the word rikum. So if Kook is saying that when the more a person ascends in this haskalah ha'ayina, the more he sees, the more he recognizes the interconnectedness of all things, the more he sees that there's the tapestry. You know, when you give puzzles, so they have on the boxes, because they do puzzles, you know, it's one of the popular pastimes of not only children, but even adults like to do puzzles. But the difference is that when you see a puzzle, you go to the store, you buy a puzzle, it'll say on it for 5-year-old, right? And it has 10 pieces. And then you go to the adult puzzles, for grown-ups, so it has their puzzle, and it has their 1,000 pieces. And the difference between an adult and a child is that when the child opens up the box, he just looks at that piece. He just looks at that little piece. And he sees it's blue. And they're like, there are 10 pieces, and 4 of them are blue. And he's lost. He's only looking at that piece. Or each one looks so different from the other, he can't understand what was the shaykh, what's the shaykh from this piece to that piece. As a person matures, in his mind, he's able to see the picture on the cover of the box of the puzzle. And there's a tapestry. So immature thinking is a way of looking only at every prat, at every detail. And there are people that are very much like that, and they're limited in what they could do. The ones that are completely, completely meshubah to prate prate. And then you have the person who sees the picture. We've been talking about shuls for a bunch of the years, that whole way of Limud HaTorah, Avni Nezer, Rav Kook, the Ragachover. How every single prat, and the Ragachover looked at every tiny detail of Torah, so the Ragachover knew how it fit into the puzzle, and that's why the Ragachover was right away would say, oh, this halacha in the halacha in Hilchas Taharas helps us to explain Lulav, Megillah, Shabbos, Ksubas, you know, all the different halachas, B'chol HaTorah Kula. Because he saw the whole puzzle. He saw the whole picture. And the Torah Be'etzim is one. Every single din of the Torah is connected to every other din of the Torah. That's not how we're taught. We're just taught to try to figure out the stasis. But that's how come when there was somebody who was saying over at Tosfos, he said something, there were big Talmid Chachamim sitting around talking over and learning, and somebody said over a quote from Tosfos, and Rabbi Chaim Brisker said, it doesn't say that in Tosfos. And the person said, it does say that in Tosfos. And Rabbi Chaim says, it doesn't say that in Tosfos. And they went and they brought a Gemara, and of course Rabbi Chaim is right. And there was an espalter, and Rabbi Chaim said, I don't know the Tosfos, I don't know all Tosfos in Shas by heart. But I know that Tosfos could not have said such a thing. You hear the difference? He said, I don't know that Tosfos by heart, that piece of the puzzle by heart, but I got the picture. And I know how Tosfos thinks. That's not how Tosfos thinks. Tosfos is consistent in its way of thinking. The Baal Tosfos had a certain mahalach, it's a tapestry. And that does not go into the puzzle of Tosfos. I don't know it by heart, but I know that could not be what Tosfos said. That could not be. That's something. That's Reb Chaim Brisker's mind. Where everything was mamish, everything was together, everything fit together. That's how he learned. That's how he saw everything. That's why he would learn a piece of Gemara, that until then everybody was learning that Gemara. Also, just the pieces of the Gemara, each piece of the Gemara, trying to figure out, and it's this theory, that theory, this is this, this, and this, and 1,000 pilpulim to try to make it work out, and by the time you finish, you're like, you got all these pilpulim. And Reb Chaim would look at the Gemara and he would say that there are two dinim. There are two mahalchim that are going on here in this sugya. This and this. These are different two mahalchim. All of the different opinions can be divided into two. Basically, there are two mahalchim here in the Gemara. And these are the mahalchim. And that's conceptual thinking. And that way of thinking looks at the entirety and not at that little piece. So that's what it means. I think that's what he's saying. Haskola al yana tefesus b'akirah says harikum shel ha'ilui. So what about all the people that are talking day and night about Yiridus Hadaris, Yiridus Hadaris, Yiridus Hadaris, that everything is getting worse, 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 worse. Everything's going down, 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 down. So Rav Kook is saying that there's a haskola al yana, there's a haskola tachtoina. From that perspective of Haskalah HaTachtayna, when you look at the details of society right now, the details, the pieces of the puzzle, society right now, the world is right now, whoa, down, down, down. When you look at the pieces, it's down. But Mitzad Haskalah HaElyona, from the picture of, from on top of the mountain, Rav Kook said, the world is in a much higher place than it's ever been before. In a much higher place. Again, he's not talking about the Yechideh Hadaris. There are certain Jews who are Yechideh Hadaris. I'm not talking about Arizal and Rabbi Shimon, you understand? But if you take an average person, regular people like us, 200 years ago, how did we live 200 years ago? What were we thinking about? We weren't thinking about what's the Pshat and Rav Kook, Ruchnias, Halachas. We weren't thinking about any of that. We were very similar, mostly to horses. Much more similar to horses. Now, that doesn't mean to say that you and I don't occasionally slip into horse-like behaviors. We do. But the overall picture of society of mankind is, look, there's bechlal a musag of women's rights, right? We've discussed this many times. Such a musag of women's rights, which now we take for granted. That a woman has the right to a job, the woman has the right to be like anybody else. I'm not talking about the Mishagoyim, that I'm talking about you're 100% right. That that a woman should have the same rights as a man. What's the shaila? So to us, it's very, very obvious. To our grandparents, why should a woman vote? Why should a woman have equal opportunity at a job? Why? Or when it comes to other races and so on and so forth, whatever these in Yonam are, there's a concept that a human being has rights. That a human being is about David, Bechlal, that he's not subject to the whims of some tyrant of a monarch. I mean, there's still places in the world that they're submerged in that darkness, but for the most part, the world is infinitely better. People live in a much, much, not just physically, the ideas, the concepts that are being discussed, average people years ago had no such a musik. Bechlal not. It's whether my wheel is able to turn or it's not turning. I have to grease it, I don't have to grease it. The world has made unbelievable progress. Rav Kook says, of course, as individuals, they're yechidei haskula, and that's the difference in that has to do with something else we're not going to go into right now. The yechidei hadaris. But bechlal, haskala, Yom Tefes Bachra says, harikum shele'ilui, and the difference is that from the perspective of haskala elyona, one is able to see the rikum, how everything is sewn together, not just separate threads. He's able to see the whole picture. V'imis adenis mirov ziv, and that becomes refined from its great light. Uma adenis es ha'ilum kulo, and that refines all of the world. So Rav Avner just writes, k'chol sh'adam evin yoyseh hu teifes es harikom, the more a person understands. Because when you're learning ma'isi ma'kov ma'isi b'reishis, what are you learning? You're learning how things fit together. You're learning with this. A person can go to the Sfarim store and you can buy a sefer called Kehilas Yaakov. I'm not talking about the stipend, that's something else. There's a sefer Kehilas Yaakov. What's Kehilas Yaakov? There's one of the big Talmidei Baal Shem is the author of the Meloi HaOmer on Shas. Meloi HaRoyim on Shas. Rabbi Yaakov Yelis. So this sefer Kehilas Yaakov, now they already make it in two volumes, a nice print. It used to be the one that I have. My old one is tiny print in Rashi. And you can look up, let's say you look up, we're talking about horses, you look up Sus. It's in alphabetical order, you look up Sus. Now it's two fat svar. You look up Sus, and it'll tell you in the spheres, in the oilmas, what's the ishtalshlus, where does a Sus, where does a horse come from? In its shirish and shamayim. Until it came all the way down into the world and became like Mr. Ed. I know that's only for the older heaven. How did that start? Where did that horse come from? You look at this horse, he comes from the stable. He comes from his Bobby and his 80, I don't know who they are. No, you look up there and he'll tell you what sphere it is. It's called Kehilas Yaakov, that's safe. And it's an encyclopedia, essentially, it's an encyclopedia of reality. Of what the world is. This is a sefer that came out around 15 years ago. Meloi Chol Aretz Kevoda. This mahalach too. Not on all things, but also this mahalach of, you can look up different parts of reality, and it'll tell you, there it speaks it out more from this svarim, in this new sefer. Meloi Chol Aretz Kevoda.
I think it's in English. In English?
No. I think it's hard to get even in Hebrew nowadays. A few people have told me they couldn't find it. It's a Murdik Sefer. It's also there. It talks, for instance, you look up Avanim, stones, and you see what's the whole history of where of what that is. What's an Evan? And there's Hishtalshalas. So Rav Kook is saying that when you learn what a horse is, when you learn what a stone is, when you learn what water is, where it comes from, it's histalshlus and elokus, which is essentially what Maisa Breishis, Maisa Makava. When you learn Maisa Breishis, Maisa Makava, so Rav Kook is saying, as a result of that, the person begins to look at everything in creation, everything that exists, he begins to look at it in a different way. It begins to see it in a different way. You still have to feed your horse, but you have a different mahalach of what it is in the world. That this, what is this in the world? You begin to see more and more the organic connection, because everything is one of the spheres. So you learn the sugya of the connection between the spheres, chesed and gvur, tferes and so on, and then you learn that this thing in creation comes from tferes sheva netzach, and you learn what tferes sheva netzach is. And then, next time you meet up with this part of the world, this thing in the world, you're able to have an experience of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, as opposed to just another detail in the picture, just another color, or another piece of the puzzle. You're able to see the whole puzzle. What's the whole puzzle? The whole puzzle is Einod Mavado, everything is Hashem. When you finish the puzzle, it's Hashem. Everything together is Hashem. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Echad. It's the completion of the puzzle. Now those svarim, like Kilas Yaakov, this other sefer, it's like, you know, when you want to, if you want to help a kid, or if you want to cheat, you put numbers on the back of the pieces of the puzzle, you know. So you can write there like 1, 2, 3, so the kid knows how to put them together. When you learn the Sfarim help you to put the pieces together. It just tells you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which where this fits into the puzzle. And you begin, even if you're not the deepest thinker in the world, you're not a Rogatchev, you're not an Avni Nezer, you're able to put pieces together. And the Sfarim, as we get closer to the Mashiach, the Sfarim, there are more and more and more Sfarim, like Bayam Dakacha, another Sfarim that we learn, that are helping us more and more and more to put together the pieces that our great grandparents didn't. They were completely intimidated by the pieces of the puzzle, and they just left it up to the Rebbe. The Rebbe is a tzaddik, and well, the Rosh Hashiva, he knows. And I just, you know, I don't know. It's a complicated puzzle, and you're not allowed to ask any questions about where the pieces go. The Sfarim nowadays are telling you, like, it's like you have, you know, the bowling alleys. They put the bumpers there in the bowling alleys. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, you don't use that, Nisim? So Nisim is just for the kids. No. Yesh for yesh. Right? Some grown-ups could use them too. But like when I saw that, I said, I'm done bowling. I'm done, that's it. I'm finished with bowling. When they started putting those things out. No. And I don't think it's a good thing to teach a kid either, by the way. I know that's a little bit hard. But I don't like that. The whole thing I don't like. That's the beginning of their descent into a life of indulgences and poor babies. Put the ball and make it go down the middle. And if it doesn't go down, it goes into the gutter and you get zero. Poor baby, can't live with that, no? You got, he did 10 rounds, what's it called? Not rounds, they're called 10 frames, yeah? He did 10 frames and he's got a score of like 12. So now he has to go to therapy for the rest of his life. Throw the ball down the middle. My wife showed me a pachad, a frightening, frightening cartoon. If this lady becomes the vice president, I don't know what's going on today. I have no idea from day to day. This election's going to be over by the next election, maybe. I don't know what's going on. I never heard of such a thing, by the way. You ever heard of such a thing? In the old days, in the middle of the night, you found out who's president. And the honest thing was, it wasn't such a big nafka, I mean, this one or that one. It wasn't. But it's mamish. My wife showed me a pachad. This lady, for vice president, this lady's a mias, shabimias, a gaiva, a shtick gaiva. And she put out a cartoon, and this is the cartoon. You see, there was a cartoon where the whole thing was like a minute, but it sums up what we have to look forward to in the next 4 years. It's a picture of a white person on top of a mountain, an educated white person on top of a mountain, and a person of color all the way down in the canyon. And the person, the white person, is being told that he has a responsibility because the colored person didn't have that opportunity to go to the top of the mountain. The white person has to, with a rope, which means your taxes, your money, everything you've worked hard for, you have to go, you have an obligation to, it looks very nice, it looks like a ben al chaver, a very fine thing. You have an obligation to bring that person up, and now you're both standing over there at the top of the mountain, and every word on that one-minute thing is pure, unadulterated Marxism, communism, mamish from the beginning of the 20th century. Every word. Instead of saying, let him climb up the mountain, Rabbeinu Shlomo, what's the matter? Climb up. My parents came to this country, they didn't have a penny. And they didn't have any family to help them. Everybody was gone. Climb up the mountain. Work. Lift yourself up. Do something with your life. Wait to see what's going to be with Vice President Harris, what's going to be going on over here. Because the president, the next president, Biden, he's already overbought, you understand, he's already, I don't know, the whole thing is so crazy. What do you even make of all of this? I don't know what to make of all of this. How could it be? How could it be such a thing? And so he's going to be president. He's going to be president, first of all, right after this thing is finished, then they're going to start already uncovering all the, they already know that there's a lot of stuff that was going on with him and his mishpacha, with mom and his, all kinds of things with China and Russia. So that's right, we're going to come. But besides that, within 6 months, he's not going to be able to remember his own name. I mean, I feel bad for the guy. And I'm not saying it's funny. He's an old guy. I'm not so far off from his age. And I'm maybe starting to say things wrong also, but I'm not running for president. It's the most powerful thing in the world. You press a button, the whole place blows up, and this guy's running for president. He doesn't remember. He starts to say, over, this one's his daughter, this one's his son. You hear the things that are going on. The guy's running for president, the most powerful person on earth. He didn't remember who's running for president against him. He called him George on the thing. He said, well, George, and you have everybody going. And the worst thing is, he didn't even know that it was wrong. It's not like after he said, I mean Donald. He just went ahead with George. And that's the guy that has in his drawer a button to blow up the whole world. So that's not going to be for a few months. And then it's going to be the Rebbetzin. And what's going to be? Ooh, is it going to be Leib HaDikt? The Baruch Shalom fears developed. We're going to see what's going to be in the world with this person. Pure communism, everything that our grandparents were running away from, everything that the world was running away from, everything that has brought darkness and misery. You'd want to see what she wants in the world? It's North Korea. North Korea. Is that, that's the world that she's talking about. North Korea. Go see North Korea. Was Tustach in North Korea. What a good life they have in North Korea. Because I have to send the rope down to the guy over there at the bottom. By the way, I don't mind helping a person. And Americans are good people. And I don't mind helping a person of any color. I get that. But not when the guy's sitting around smoking joints all day, having fathered 40 children, and he's sitting down at the bottom of the canyon laughing and telling you that you have an obligation to bring me up. No. But this is the world. That's the bumpers by the lane, you understand? Nisim, you agree with me? It was the end of the world. That was the end. Once I saw that, I said, that's it, it's finished. Next thing is going to be a Vice President Harris. Once you put bumpers on the lane, it's finished. There's no opinion of being a person. There's no obligation to work yourself. There's no consequences for your lack of performance or behavior, or for poor behavior, for criminal. Now it's criminal behavior. No, the police, it's defunding the police. You're getting rid of the police because these poor babies, they were deprived. Therefore, why shouldn't they be able to protest? You know what protesting means. If you don't know what protesting means, one of the chevra from here sent me a picture. He was working in the city the other day. He sent me a picture on Fifth Avenue with every single store on Fifth Avenue boarded up. That's protesting? We know what it's about. No, but the thought is, they owe me a television set. They owe me a pocketbook. They owe me. It's kumtzemir. Kumtzemir. The people that suffer most are the good, hardworking people of color. Those good, hardworking who brought themselves up, mamish from the bottom, they brought themselves up and made their lives into something until they were able to buy and to work and to buy businesses and to work, and the other ones that the neighborhoods are set on fire, not Fifth Avenue, and their neighborhoods, what goes on with the crime. But if you say this by the next president, what I'm saying, I'm going to be sent to jail for being a racist. This has nothing to do with color. I say the same thing about a white person that is expecting something for nothing. Work. If you can't work, you're disabled. I agree with that people should be helped. Not to such an extent, what they're talking about the government running their lives and so on. But Mechitesa, that I owe you to drop a rope down to you. And then they saw two happy people, one colored and one white, at the top of the mountain. Anach Degetog. Except if they show you the picture from behind, you see that there's a knife in the white guy's back. Because that's how he got his money. You pull him up to the top and he gives you a knife in your back. That's what it's all about. And it's like, this is normal. This is normal. When a person, so therefore if Cook said, yes, in terms of the pratim of the world is the pratim, the pieces of the puzzle are very, very, very dark. But a person who's able to lift himself up to the top of the mountain, to look at things from that higher perspective, he says, "Humeivin Hashem echad u'shmoy echad." From that higher perspective, Hashem echad u'shmoy echad, to see the bigger picture. And by the way, I'm using this example. I'm forgiving for taking so much time on such stupidity. I apologize. It's not the right thing to do. Certainly not when you're learning Hilchos Sefer and Erev Shabbos. It's not the right thing to do. And I'm sorry, but. As a marshal, but sometimes I get too carried away with the marshal, you understand. But it's not, in many ways, this is the same thing that's going on in our little firm world, in different ways. It's the same thing. And that's a big subject. The protim, as opposed to looking at things from a higher vantage point of what's right for this kid, how many times I'm fighting and arguing with this. A few days ago, the father to leave your kid alone. He didn't get up for davening. He's whatever it is. He's 10 years old. Doesn't want to go to shul. So if you look at it from the prat, it means another day that Yankee's in bed. Another day the Yankee didn't go to shul. But if you want him really to be a person that's going to daven the rest of his life, let him be. Let him stay in bed. Every situation is different. Obviously, I'm not saying a klal. Every situation is different. It depends what's Yankee's in you. But you either look at things from the bottom of the mountain, you look at things from the top of the mountain. And when I look back now and I say that, I see the mistakes that I made, it was all this nakuda. And I don't blame anybody else except myself. The mistakes that I made raising the children, and their beautiful children, I'm proud of them. But the mistakes that I made was all this nakuda. Of letting myself go into that behavioral mode of the pieces of the puzzle, instead of looking at things in a bigger way. And I blame myself, even though I try to look at everything else in that way, but it's very hard with your own kids to look at that. You get so easily dragged into that inion, and then you're like arguing with a four-year-old about something. It's so hard to get dragged into that inion. And I think back about how my father, all of a sudden, never, ever, ever did that. I never in my life had an argument with my father, ever. It wasn't shy to go to that place. My father was an elevated person. And he treated me in such a way as well. And we didn't have arguments. Were there times that I disagreed? Were there times that I felt I wanted it differently? Yes. But it wasn't that that I put on my boxing gloves, or my father had his boxing gloves, and then we started to work out. It never happened in my house. Never happened. With my mother, I did that stuff. She should be well. My father, there was no boxing going on. My father just gave me that look. And that look was from the top of the mountain. And I understood, like, I'm an ant. I'm just an ant. And I start to behave like somebody that's together with my father, not at the bottom of the hill with a bunch of ants crawling around. Start to act like a mensch. And he didn't have to tell me what's not menschlich about this and tell me prote prote of my life, what's wrong, what's right. My father never, ever told me these things. Ever told me these things. Ever. I never heard a word from him about sometimes a little bit of a look of disappointment. And that's all it was. And then it wasn't a lecture, it wasn't a shmooze, it wasn't a shiur, it wasn't a whole thing, behavior modification, zach, nothing like that at all. My father never heard of behavior modification. But he knew how to give a little look like this, just a little look. And with that look was one thing, it was two things. One is that it's pasnish for you. It's not becoming for you. and then a little bit of a smile. You could do better. That's all it was. None of the fighting and the arguing and nowadays. That's the shirish of our. That's when you start with the bumpers. That's when you start having the bumpers on the lanes in the bowling alley. It's the same inyan of being afraid also to say no to children, the way children, the kind of questions that from parents, the way children are being. That the parents are afraid of the children and not being able to deprive them of anything. That's why you have to have the bumpers on the line. You can't deprive them of their 100 in the bowling alley. You can't deprive them of that. It's all to take away all the koiches ha-nefesh and the ruchnius of a person. It saps a human being of his strength, of his confidence. And it's all under this communist manifesto picture of, we're here to help you, darling. You're a pathetic, pitiful thing. You know, the way these people, I'm going back to the marshal. These people are the biggest racists. I have derech eretz for a colored person. I really do. I believe that any human being could be a barachi. I believe that this person could be educated. And I believe that he could be a chashuva person. And I'd be the first person to be happy to work for him if he's the president of the firm that I work in. Adarabba. But you're a racist because you look at this person as a nothing at the bottom of the mountain. That's how you look at him. And you treat him that way. And I'm going to throw you a couple of dollars. Not I'm going to throw you. I'm going to make sure that other people throw you the dollars. They live in their fenced, gated homes in fancy neighborhoods. Like Pelosi, she went to get her hair fixed without her mask, right? She went to get her hair fixed. Oh, but all the lowlives of the world, they have to wear their masks, not for Nancy. She doesn't put on a mask. She's on top of the mountain, you understand. But the lowlives at the bottom of the mountain, you throw them their masks and throw them a couple of dollars. And everybody will be okay. That's how you fix the world. It's the undermining of the most basic need of a human being for self-respect and dignity. That's what this is all about. And it's a pachet if you think about it. And this way of looking at life has crept into the yeshivas, into our homes, into our way of thinking. It's crept deep, deep into our way of thinking. And we don't realize how much it's affected us, how much it's influenced us. Think of the next time when you're dealing with your kid or your grand, how you're putting those bumpers over there. Think of it. And you think that you're the nicest father because you gave your kid that vacation that he couldn't live with that poor baby. Everything has to be just the way that they want, or else who knows what's going to be with the kid. And that you think that's looking from a bigger perspective of being this wonderful, giving parent, and now my family is a family filled with ahava. No, it's filled with a sense of entitlement. And that's going to affect this kid when he gets married. Because he thinks his wife is there to serve him the way his parents were waiting on him day and night. He thinks his wife is also there to serve him. And she better not dare ever say no to him. Not in any way to say no. Not when it comes to what he eats, not when it comes to their private lives. She's not allowed to say no to him because daddy and mommy never said no to me. Never said no to me. A life of entitlement, of expectations that are totally unrealistic. And then when it comes down to reality of what life really is, not reality television, when it comes down to real life, then these kids who are now married and with their own children find themselves arguing with their children day and night. It just goes on and on and on, the misery. That's all it is. Entitled children, spoiled children, now grown up and are the parents themselves. So they can't take the fact that their kid says no to them. I have two problems. My wife said no to me. My wife said no to me last night, and now my kid's saying no to me this morning. A chutzpah. So now what are we going to do? The children themselves are becoming parents. I have to be married by this time. I have to have a cute, normal husband. Now they're becoming parents. So what's going to be? What's going to be with this young man? His wife says no, and his kid says no. He's lost. It's fafal. This is what we're up against. And unless we make the picture of the, unless we present the picture of something much bigger, and we understand the shurish of what's going on, we're in, our children, our grandchildren are in great danger. Hashem Yisbarach should help each and every one of us. I'm sorry I went so off topic. I mean, it's on, but it's off, so Hashem should forgive me, and you should forgive me. We should bezeich him as Hashem to see every single piece come together, and for that day will be before each and every one of our eyes. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Let the Shabbos.